I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the 12th House Podcast. I'm Michelle Palazan Lipsitz, and I'm coming in with a little shorty episode today because I wanted to just clock something that I've been seeing and unpack it a little bit. And maybe you've been seeing it too. I'm guessing you definitely have, but maybe more you've been feeling it. One thing that I am learning after being in the wellness industry for 17 years now, my entire adult life, is that nothing is new. There are cycles of ideas that show up every couple of years and are lightly remixed. And it's interesting to tap your finger on that sort of veneer or lacquer, very top lacquer, and scratch it away and see what is that original or old thought or idea that's actually underneath and has just a nice, shiny new coat of paint. And I've been like curiously regarding the girl mousing movement, the soft girl, the chilling, the finding ease that many of the girl boss movement, who were formerly of the girl boss movement, have slithered into over the last year, maybe more, maybe last couple months. But that's the general consensus, is more ease, more rest, more just let things wash over you, lay down on the grass and become one with nature and leave your corporeal body forever, which like that sounds great. But there's something to this that to me still reeks of productivity culture, even though I think that maybe at first blush, it feels antithetical or antagonistic to productivity and quote unquote hustle or whatever we want to call it. But I think they're on actually like two sides of the same coin. And here's why. With productivity culture, right? Productivity culture is appealing to us because it gives us this promise of achieving more, of being more successful, and of optimizing our life, making our life just easier, right? Less effort is put into the regular things. So you can reassign that effort to things that are more needle moving in your life. So not only does your life get easier, but it also improves because you're basically, yeah, you're renegotiating your energy to get the most bang for your buck or your time or your attention or your money. And wellness culture is a facet, or maybe productivity culture is a facet of wellness culture. I don't think it's any coincidence that the like bulletproof coffee guy and the self-optimized man and person movement is very much about wellness, biohacking, and also productivity, 4-hour work week. Tim Ferriss, great example, right? Because wellness culture is this promise of health, of happiness, of well-being, of being the best version of yourself, of getting rid of any insecurities, any dis-ease, anything that holds you back, that's blocking you, whether it's a physical block or it's an emotional spiritual block. Because we also have the sort of Venn diagram of wellness and spirituality that often intersects and totally overlaps, sometimes becomes a circle, depending on who we're talking to. And I think it's pretty easy when we line these up to see, oh yeah, these pictures are the same. The promise is a life of more, of achieving more, of being the best version, the most optimized version of oneself in every way. And I think it makes a lot of sense that many of us are attracted to both of these cultures, right? That we're really into wellness and spirituality, the wellness spirituality Venn diagram circle. And we're also swept under by productivity conversation or culture, where we're excited by the idea of using a ton of Notion documents and getting to inbox zero and optimizing our workflow. But here's the thing, productivity doesn't make you happier. It makes you more efficient. And I think a lot of us are attracted to these two concepts, wellness and productivity, because we are seeking that happiness or satisfaction. And we feel as if I just make these tweaks to my workflow or to the way I drink my tea, then I'll be happy and satisfied. And really, we know that's a simplistic, that like we know in our heart of hearts that that can't be it. That can't be the truth. And yet we keep expecting productivity, getting things done, making life more easeful, we expect that is what is going to make us more satisfied and happy. In reality, I think what actually makes us happier, what makes us feel more fulfilled, is feeling purposeful. And in many ways, productivity culture is like the antithesis to purpose. Or it can be, if the ways that we practice it, that we're often taught to practice it. We're taught to be like ruthless with our time and with our email inboxes and with our attention, and to cut out all the extra slack and to have every moment of your day allotted for and cared for and organized in just this specific way. And while that certainly can lighten our mental load and create some clarity for us, it only does if we remember that the point of that, the point of having that mental space, is to allow ourselves to think. And so often what happens is we get into a routine, or we build a system, or we build a process, and there's no time to breathe, to marinate, to freely think. It's so regimented and optimized that it loses the forest for the trees. And we forget that the most important thing isn't checking things off of our to-do list and getting things done. The most important thing is orienting towards ourselves, towards what our values are and what our purpose is, what we're here to do. Because I could check off 50 things on my list that are minuscule, no big deal, or maybe sometimes really big deal tasks that get me nowhere closer to accomplishing or to embodying my purpose. And just because I mark those things off my list, I will feel a momentary dopamine hit, dopamine rush probably, because it feels so good to accomplish something. But I'll be right back at the bottom of that hill, pushing my boulder back up as soon as I have something else on my to-do list. It's never ending. It's unsatisfying. We cannot win with productivity culture if we're just orienting towards getting things done, getting as many things done as we can. We have to go back to our why. And I think that's the key that's missing for a lot of people. And for me, bringing this all the way back around to girl mossing, I think that's what's missing in the conversation about creating more ease. Yeah, I think that we should have more easeful lives. I think that is objectively good in a lot of circumstances. I also think that efforting sometimes feels really good. When you do a really hard workout and you're like, damn, that fucking sucked, but now I feel amazing. Like, or the satisfaction that you feel, or improved confidence that you feel once you've done something that you've never done before and you had to figure it out. It feels so good. Like sometimes something being a little bit more challenging, a little more rigorous, a little more muscular feels really good to us. And I think that this girl mossing is just, it's just a soft, fuzzy version, or I guess like earthy version of a dressed up version of productivity culture, which asks us at its worst to forget our why, to forget our purpose, and to only really think about the tasks and getting things done, and being a cog in the machine. And I know that girl is it's the opposite of getting things done, right? It's like, I refuse to get anything done. But at the same time, if it's just a response to that, then it is equally unfree. It is, I would say, equally harmful to us to deliberately not move through actions, or to deliberately allow ourselves to rot in bed just because we are raging against being a girl boss and getting things done. There's probably a happy medium somewhere, right? Like, I'm all for, I call it blobbing personally, being a blob and blobbing on the couch and having weeks or months even where you're just like, yeah, I'm in a no thoughts, just vibe zone. And I think that that's really good and healthy, especially if you're experiencing burnout. But I worry that, I guess I don't worry, like you can do whatever you want. And I think that if we continue down that path, it's just more of the same. The things that make you unsatisfied about productivity culture and downloading every single Notion template and, I don't know, figuring out all the Excel spreadsheets and blah, 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 getting the next fast email thingy. All those things that both delight you and infuriate you are mostly just serving to distract you. And it feels better like we're doing some good if we're being quote unquote productive, because we can be distracted and efficient, get things done, yay capitalism, but you're still just distracted at the end of the day. Checking off 50 things on your to-do list that get closer to your purpose is honestly the equivalent of just scrolling through your social media app of choice for a couple of hours. So I want to offer a reframe instead. Productivity doesn't make us happier. It just makes us more efficient. The rejection of productivity also doesn't make us happier. It just makes us less efficient. And if we are orienting towards our purpose or our values, or even if we don't know what that is, trying to uncover what our purpose or values are and thinking about quote unquote productivity or making more space for ourselves, which let's think of productivity as making more mental space for ourselves, clearing our mental load so that we have the chalkboard in our minds to work on. There's no point in clearing the chalkboard if we're not going to write on it, if we're not going to wrestle, if we're not going to go deep and try to expand and really push our thinking, push our understanding, ask ourselves to evolve and change. There's no point. Who cares? Be the most inefficient you possibly can be. If you're not going to take the time, your new time, to do something that adds to the depth and the quality of your life. At least that's my perspective on it. So I want to free you from the tyranny of productivity. You don't have to be more productive. You don't have to be more efficient to be a happier person. And I do believe that when we have more mental space, which often happens when we're more organized and we have systems for the things that really don't require our gorgeous, beautiful brains all the time, things that we do every day, like making content or the work that we do or replying to emails or how you organize your kitchen pantry at home or cooking dinner for your family or organizing your friends for happy hour every week. When we have systems that help us with that, it creates more space that in that whiteboard in our brain to push ourselves to go deeper and to continue to develop as individuals. And arguably, I think that's what we're here to do on this planet. Instead of making a to-do list because you want to get everything done, I offer you the reframe. What if instead today I made a to-do list and I asked myself, what of the things on this list are in line with my values, are in line with my priorities of how I want to spend my time and what I'm here to do, what I'm here to experience and explore? And do they offer me that extra space to think and imagine and dream and intuit? And if they don't, then perhaps that's something that you want to change or fix or get rid of. So this is just a mini episode, but I just was realizing the other day that I'm like, oh yeah, I hate productivity culture. And I don't know if people know that because I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid to optimize so much that you forget why you're optimizing, to lose yourself in the wellness of it all to the point that you actually are unwell. And that's kind of my point. That's my reason personally for creating systems and figuring out how you use my neurodivergent, nonlinear brain best, because she needs time to go squiggly. And when I optimize and create systems for myself, when it comes to my work and my home life, I have more space to think. And ultimately, that is the thing that's satisfying to me, not the checking off the list. Or I have more space to be with my family and to be with my friends. And that's the point of it all, at least for me. So I'm giving you that. And I don't know if it's useful or not, but I hope it is. And if you are like, damn, yeah, I do actually really need to like get my systems checked and maybe learn some new ways of thinking about how to clear the tables in my mind and get some just mental clarity and temporal clarity, system spells, our Notion for Magical Baddies class is opening up very soon. So I'll drop the link in the show notes below. This is the last time I'm going to be teaching this live, probably for the next year. And there's just things happening and I don't think I'm going to be able to teach this live again. If you have been wanting to join, now would be the time to do it. It's a really fun class. I've been teaching this now for like almost 4 years. Yeah, 4 years, which is crazy. And it's going to be a good time. We love it. So if you're curious, you can check out the link in the show notes. And I think that's it. All right. Bye. The 12th House is produced by the Holisticism team, with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes. Thanks for listening.